how cheap and how do they reduce the cost of energy consumption in cooking?
Look expensive.
Yes.
But in the long run, they really reduce the cost, like for schools. If you have been using Feedstone, you buy, let's say, a truck of firewood per month. With this stove, you normally use maybe the truck, you may use it for 2 months.
Everyone, welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Driving Eco-Sustainability, My Perspective. And once again, I'm your host, Grace. And today we are going to be talking about the quest for clean cooking with clean cooking eco stoves. And I'm pleased to be joined by Hajara, someone who is well equipped in this journey, someone who is into the clean cooking space. Welcome, Hajara.
Thank you, Grace.
Yes. Now, Hajara, can you let our viewers and those who are listening to us out there, who is Hajara?
Hello, everyone. My name is Nabanja Hajara. Professionally, I'm a qualified biomass technologist. Currently, I'm a student at Guru University doing a bachelor's degree in biosystems engineering. I specialize in efficient stoves, biogas, briquettes, and solar. That's what I'm doing for now.
Yes. Now, when you sum up all that, I can tell that it is leading more towards clean cooking technologies.
Yes.
So share with us briefly and in layman's terms, simply, what is clean cooking really?
Clean cooking is all about the technological way in terms of cooking and fuels. When you talk about clean cooking, there are some characteristics we are considering. That is the way you are hearing, clean.
Yes.
No smoke, cook faster, efficient. Yeah. So these technologies, we term them to clean cooking because if it is a stove, we expect free smoke. We expect the highest rate of cooking. We expect reduction in the fuel. We also consider the fuel in terms of briquettes, electricity, and gas, be it liquid petroleum gas or biogas,
yes,
or solar. Okay. All those terms combine bring us to clean cooking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I get it that clean cooking, the essence of what differentiates clean cooking technologies from ordinary cooking is the fact that they eliminate or reduce the carbon footprint of cooking.
Yes.
So how do you come to be part of this? How do you come to be part of this course, and how do you come to join the clean cooking industry?
After my senior 6C or the HSC, I was given a course that is biomass energy technology. I did this course from Nyabyeya Forestry College in Masindi. The fact that I didn't have option, I had to go for a course. When I went the course, I studied as normally. Then what we are studying, it is really happening in our daily lives, and we are being trained to come and save the Mother Nature. So we are just to use the knowledge we've gained to the community. We share it to the community. We come up with the way of reducing deforestation, come up with alternative ways of cooking so that to save the environment. So after my diploma, I had to go to the community and start doing what I've been taught. So that's why my first stove I constructed was in Nebi.
Okay.
That is Maleng Primary School and St. Monica Primary School, Nebi.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, now clean cooking stoves. What are those key features of clean cooking stoves that are differentiate them from our ordinary sigiris or our three stone versions of cooking? What are those key features that make them different and make them contribute to environmental sustainability, environmental protection over our ordinary stoves? or over our ordinary cigarettes that we use every day?
This takes me to my project I did, my research. My research was about the Philistine stove, the gas fire stove, and the fire shielded stove. When I was doing this research, I found out that the Philistine stove cooks fast, better than the other stoves I did. But its problem, it is smoke.
Yes.
Which affects the health. And another thing, it consumes a lot of fuel. So when we adopted these other stoves on market, we call them the efficient. Why are they efficient?
Yes.
They reduce on the consumption of fuel. And all of them save up to 50% of the fuel. Compared to the Philistine or the other ordinary stoves.
Okay.
They are smoke-free.
Okay. So can you just briefly take us through the process of constructing and setting up these clean cooking stoves in people's homes? Just briefly.
These stoves?
Yes.
It depends on the fuel you are going to use.
Yes.
You can say firewood. When I'm meeting a client, I ask which fuel. Do you want to use firewood or charcoal or briquettes? There are also some hybrid whereby we combine the biogas with the firewood.
Okay.
That's why a firewood stove. So it depends on the type of fuel you are going to use. For schools normally use firewood. This time around, we are advising them to use briquettes as well.
Okay.
Because it helps them to save. So if I'm to construct, normally we do the construction majorly for firewood, but sometimes the client may say, I also need charcoal or briquettes.
Okay.
The one for charcoal can work for both. So we give them numbers depending on the quality.
Okay.
If a client is willing to put in money, I always recommend quality number one. Quality number one, it is made of selected bricks. People normally call them Kajansi. So me, I call it quality one.
Okay.
So the client may say, I want the stove, but the money, what? I go to number two. Number two, after my construction, I tile it. They are all strong, but the difference is in terms of appearance. Yeah, and if the other one is lasting for more than 20, this one may last for around 15, but they are all strong. So when we go back to villages, you cannot quote for someone or a stove of 2 million, 3 million. Yeah, we normally do for them rocket rollena.
Okay.
Rocket rollena type stove. This one, we just use hand heel soil. They're local available.
Yes.
Yeah. Clay just okay. To make for them.
Yes.
Now, but they're all smoke-free.
Okay. So yes, now I've noticed that the essence of these clean cooking stoves is to promote energy efficiency.
Yeah.
Energy efficiency use. So can you share with us how energy efficient are these stoves over the ordinary cigarettes, really? Because I'm trying to understand, do they save the cost of the fact that if I choose an efficient stove, would I be reducing the cost I spend on charcoal or firewood? If I use an energy efficient stove together with briquettes, would it be cheaper than me buying charcoal every single day? Or would it be cheaper than me getting firewood and I use my three stones, you know, the masiga that we grew up seeing? Mm. So how cheap and how do they reduce the cost of energy consumption in cooking?
These technologies look expensive.
Yes.
But in the long run, they really reduce the cost. Like for schools, if you have been using Philistine, you buy, let's say, a truck of firewood per month. With this stove, you normally use maybe the truck, you may use it for 2 months. You don't need to put a lot of firewood to cook because it is designed in the way the saucepan dips down the stove to accommodate all the heat coming out.
Oh, from. Not like so the ones no we used except, to see when we were growing up in our schools where the saucepan is up and then the firewood is down and there's space and distance in between.
Yeah. Okay. So the whole heat is utilized. So meaning you are cooking faster. If you are cooking faster, you're not using a lot. You may need around 3 to 4 sticks to cook.
Okay. So yes, now I gather that the fact that it saves in the long run, it's a good investment.
Mm.
And initially you may feel the pinch, but in the long term, it's going to be cheaper because you're going to reduce the cost of the firewood you're buying as well. So how do you usually integrate charcoal briquettes into these clean cooking stoves?
First of all, the raw materials for briquettes, they are abundant. There are many. So let's take agricultural residues. That is coffee husks and rice husks. If they are available, we came up with the technology of carbonizing them. After carbonizing, then you make briquettes. So if you have your raw materials, why don't you make briquettes? And you have your fuel than buying.
Okay.
You may make these, they normally call them balls. If you don't have a machine, you use your hands.
Okay.
You don't need to use the machine. So if you have a lot, so we have a lot of sawdust. If you go to Mdeba, there is a lot. But people, since they are not aware, it's hard to utilize the sawdust which is there. Yet it is a new material for briquettes.
Okay. Now, from what I gather, you see, in 2023, the government of Uganda launched the Energy Transition Plan. And one of the key areas where they put emphasis was enhancing access to clean cooking. And it was against the background that actually only 15% of Ugandans have access to clean cooking technologies. And the other 95 are still using firewood. They are still using kerosene. So I'm trying to understand how affordable is the process of constructing and having access to the clean cooking stove, but also access to the charcoal briquettes, really.
First of all, what we are doing these days is to create awareness.
Okay.
People are there and they really need to adopt, but the fact that they are not aware, don't expect them to adopt the technology. So in all what we are doing is creating awareness. Like when it comes to biogas, people, they don't know more about it. Someone is doing rearing animals, is having a lot of cow dung, but doesn't know how to use it. Not knowing, if you install a biogas, you will have the gas, you will have the agricultural fertilizer, the biocidary. So we try to create awareness for them. We also try to put some call it initiatives for them to adopt the technology in under installments.
It's a pay as you go. You deposit and you pay in installments. You don't pay all the money at once when the stove is being constructed. Do you also do the same for the charcoal briquettes? Or for the charcoal briquettes, you only train people and they make them on their own, or you also sell them as well, the already made ones?
Yeah, for me and my team, for now we are not selling.
Okay.
But we do the training. We do train people how to make briquettes, what are the raw materials, what are the characteristics of a good briquettes. We do tell people different type of raw materials that can help to bring out a good briquette. Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the basis that, yes, from what you've shared so far, at least from the mere fact that the essence of clean cooking is that it helps in carbon reduction, the reduction of the carbon footprint from the cooking sector. So in essence, it helps in environmental conservation because less carbon emissions mean less accumulation of greenhouse gases, meaning in the longer run, it's reducing the impact of climate change. So can you share with us how impactful is the use of clean cooking stoves and briquettes in reducing the negative effects of indoor air pollution. Because you understand that most of us, where we grow up from, the sigiris are usually in our homes, inside our homes. And I think those who live in congested areas, one of the biggest issues that this causes accidents, but also it has become a point of indoor air pollution. And in worst case scenarios, it has even become indoor air poisoning, where people, you see accidents. Someone was cooking chips inside their house, and then in the morning they are found dead. So how can you share with us how these clean cooking stoves really reduce the risks of indoor air pollution, really?
When I'm constructing these stoves, we normally put the chimney.
Okay.
This one is meant to take out the smoke. The whole smoke that is coming out of the firewood goes through the chimney.
Okay.
So in the due case, you will not see smoke in your kitchen, whereby someone who's cooking is free from smoke, meaning the health is catered for. Another thing, when you are using biogas, by the way, it is the best solution to me, because have you ever had someone dying because of biogas?
No. I think the only problem we have with it is the smell.
It doesn't,
yes,
smell.
During the process of it, you know, when you're accumulating all the waste that you're going to use, like from the garden, and you're keeping it, when it's undergoing the process, sometimes people feel like they can't stand the smell.
Yes. Like the process of biogas.
Yes.
It is hard when it comes to refilling. But I'm assuring everyone that the biogas provides clean, like the flame for cooking is like that of liquefied petroleum gas.
Okay.
And it is very safe for your life, whereby you are using your own materials. You don't need to buy the raw material. If you are rearing maybe birds or animals, you have a raw material. You have a source to make your own gas to cook. Still, you can use it as a business. There are some people who sell cow dung. If you're selling cow dung, if you have a biogas, you will sell biocellularly. Biocellularly, you just need one bucket every day to refill, or to, depending on the size you installed. So it will give you more than the bucket.
Okay.
Meaning you are doing a business, you are benefiting, and your health is catered. When it comes to climate change, there's no smoke. You don't need firewood. You are saving the environment.
Okay.
Meaning other also technologies like solar. Solar, you are also saving the environment because it is free. Actually, it is clean.
Yes. So, yes. So I gather the fact that, yes, it's the materials used are easily accessible, yeah, and also affordable. So when it comes to the clean cooking stoves, I also gather the fact that when you're constructing, you factor in the air circulation in the home.
Yes.
And also the fact that because unlike the other sigiris that we use, these clean cooking stoves, the access to the energy or the fire is concentrated. What you're cooking is closer to the fire compared to what we see ordinarily in our everyday lives when we use sigiri. So now, how long does it take to have a complete clean cooking stove?
First of all, it depends on the size, yes, you want, and the number of people you have, be it a school or a home. When you are choosing the size of the saucepan, you have to look at the number that people you are having. Because if it is firewood, we normally build it in the way that the saucepan can accommodate the number of people you are feeding. So we normally say it in terms of liters. If it is a school, maybe a primary school, say 50 liters, two saucepans, portion and beans. It can take me like 4 days to construct.
Okay. So it seems you've been in this space for quite a while. What are some of those challenges that you've experienced, especially in trying to convince people to ditch the ordinary sigiri and install these clean cooking stoves in their homes, or to ditch the use of charcoal and adopt the use of charcoal briquettes. What are some of those challenges that you've encountered, and what lessons are those that you've learned from there that you take home with you and that help you soldier on this journey of advancing the cause for clean cooking?
And the major problem is that most of the technologies we are using is just imported.
Okay.
Meaning, if it is imported, you expect tax, leading to the product being expensive.
Or what exactly is imported in the process of making the clean cooking stove?
There are some stoves that use solar.
Okay.
Electrical. In Uganda, it's hard to find someone manufacturing. So it is also a problem.
So the parts that are used in setting up and assembling these stoves in homes have to be brought in.
Yeah. When it comes to biogas, there is a burner. We don't make burners in Uganda.
Okay.
All those ones are just imported. When you are using electricity for cooking, all the gadgets, they are imported. So the only thing we do in Uganda, maybe the chimney, because I just use my bricks, my raw materials to construct and have the stove done. But for other technologies, maybe biogas or solar, you need to use something imported, making it expensive. Like the pellet stove. Okay, I like cooking with pellets, but the challenging bit is the raw material for making pellets is available, but the stove is expensive. People could wish to adopt it, the technology, but you may find a stove is around 200. Okay. You don't expect someone from the village to buy this stove. Another thing, when it comes to gas is very nice, cooks pasta, very clean, but still people say it is expensive. You don't expect someone deep from the village to buy gas and use home. So those are some of the challenge. Another thing, people are not willing to leave their culture. There's a time when we went to Kavale to construct some rocket rollers. We taught people how to use, but by the time we left, that's when they stopped using their stoves. Why? They are saying that our stoves cannot make the food to smell like the way they
were. Yes, it has a particular that means we believe that if it's not cooked on our three stones, it's missing that original aroma and that scent.
That's what they say. So it's hard to convince them to leave this. And yet this one is helping not only for home, but also for the country at large or the nation in terms of environmental conservation.
Yes.
So another thing, creating awareness, it's something expensive. So if you are to train people, talk about your biogas, convince them about the briquettes, you need to move from where you stay to where they are, accommodate yourself, have the training. People would wish to have lunch if you have called them for training. They will need transport to refund, though they are near. You see, it's a bit expensive. So,
despite all these challenges, I do notice that you're still in the space. And the fact that the limited awareness, also the fact that most people are not willing to adopt the clean cooking stoves, also the fact that it is quite expensive to fund the awareness programs. So what are some of those initiatives, some of those ways that you have adopted to get around these challenges to continue advancing clean cooking and continue ensuring that people take on the clean cooking stoves?
First of all, I always join the groups of people under clean cooking so that we come up with the same technology. Also engage in conferences. I learn, I also share.
Yes.
I also do have I normally volunteer
yes
in some organizations to share the knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. Still the school where I am.
Yes.
I engage in clubs like student energy. Okay. All that I'm doing, okay. I'm trying to see we get to where we want to be.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So with all this work and the fact that you're pushing on to ensure that the course goes on further, what are some of those successes that you look back to and you're proud that you have been able to achieve and you have been able to contribute to the transition from carbon cooking to clean cooking?
First of all, I'm happy I have more than 10 schools I have constructed.
Wow. That's quite something.
Yeah. And among them, it's Muyenga High School.
Okay.
That was my first stove in Kampala. Okay. I like them so much.
Mm.
Yeah. Another thing, I've tried to train. Okay. I've done a lot of trainings about briquettes. Yeah. And still, I'm still in the trained. I'm so passionate about climate change and environment.
Okay, so this is the point when I ask you, see, under the energy transition plan, we had one of the key targets is to ensure that all Ugandans have access to clean cooking by 2030. But as we stand right now, it so happens that only 1 in 10 people have access to clean cooking. So as you've mentioned earlier, it has a lot to do with the fact that there is limited awareness, also the fact that there is need for a culture shift, and also the limited financing as well. And the fact that the products used in this space are also quite expensive. So do you think there's a possibility that, in your view, do you think as Uganda, we are going to be in a position to achieve that target of ensuring that all of us as Ugandans have access to clean cooking by 2030?
Yes. If we go back to step by step.
Okay.
You meet the community. You support the young generation, people who are in the trend of the technology of energy. Environment. Okay. If they are supported, we shall stop to import. We shall have the things being done in Uganda. If we go, you know, people listen more to their leaders.
Yes.
If we go back
to the grassroots.
Yeah.
Yes.
We shall have them together.
Yes.
And I'm sure they will adopt.
Yes. Yes. So Hajara, where can people find you? If they are in need of your services, like someone is interested in having you construct a clean cooking stove. But first, wait, I forgot to ask, how many clean cooking stoves have you constructed so far in Uganda? And also, future plans, how is 2025 looking like really for you?
I have 10 stoves so far done.
Okay.
Okay, my dream.
Yes.
My dream, I want to work with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development. Still, I want to work with UN.
Okay.
And the fact that I'm building a campaign.
Yes.
I want by 2028.
Yes.
To be among the leading energy companies in Uganda.
Okay. Wow. And we are going to be here supporting you. We are going to be here vouching for you. And we are going to walk this journey together with you. So those who are interested in knowing where to find you, do you have a particular location where they can find you? Or do you have a particular social media handles they can get to reach you? How can people be able to find you if they are in need of your services to train communities in the clean cooking space?
Someone can follow me on LinkedIn. I normally use LinkedIn.
Yes.
The names of Nabanja Hajara.
Okay.
My office is in Kamocha, but right now, the fact that I'm at school,
yes,
I'm always there during the holidays.
Okay.
But someone can also get me on Facebook.
Okay.
My company. You can follow the company. Yes. Jiro Energy Company. You can also contact me by WhatsApp on my number. 0700132100.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So our viewers and listeners out there, we are going to share Hajara's social media handles. We are going to share her address so that you can reach out to her if you're interested in adopting these clean cooking technologies, if you're interested in impacting your community to acquire skills that are transferable through clean cooking, through creating stoves, through charcoal briquettes. You'll be able to reach her so that she can train you, and you can also contribute to climate action through adopting clean cooking. So, Hajara,
yes,
it's at this point that I ask you, you imagine you're meeting me for the first time. I'm a stranger, and you would want to convince me to set up a clean cooking stove in my home, or to buy charcoal briquettes, or to relay an impactful message about clean cooking. What's that one statement you would tell me that you believe is going to convince me to take action, to believe in your goal, and to be inspired to take on clean cooking?
First of all, I will ask you the type of fuel you are using.
Okay.
If it is charcoal, I'll ask you how long it takes you with your ordinary stove. Then you tell me I can use a sack in 2 weeks. Then I'll tell you with my stove, you can use your sack of charcoal in a month.
Okay.
If it is firewood, I will say how clean is your kitchen and your health as per using your Philistine stove. Then you tell me, oh, there is a lot when I'm cooking, I face too much smoke or what. Then I will tell you, with my stove, you will not see smoke in the kitchen when you are cooking. You can even jazz in the kitchen, do everything in the kitchen. Yeah, you keep it smart, though you are using firewood.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I would be moved to, I would be intrigued enough to take on, to learn more about this clean cooking, and to see if I can adopt or install a clean cooking stove in my home. So, Hajara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you. We look forward to hearing more from you about your clean cooking journey and to continue supporting you. It's been great. Thank you so much. So, yes, for all those who are wondering what clean cooking is, personally, what I've learned is that the short version of what clean cooking is that it reduces carbon emissions. What do I mean? It reduces the emission of greenhouse gases, which are the leading cause of climate change through global warming. So what does clean cooking through use of a clean cooking stove entail? It entails reduction of indoor air pollution. It also entails increasing energy efficiency. It also helps in improving your energy consumption. Remember that the government of Uganda is planning that by 2030, all of us must adopt clean cooking. We must get rid of use of charcoal. We must get rid of use of firewood so as to save our planet, so as to save our nature, so as to save our forests. Listen in, watch us, and learn more about clean cooking and more exciting conversations in this space. I've been your host, Grace, driving eco-sustainability, my perspective podcast. Listen, watch, subscribe, share your views. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching this video. I do value the time that you put in to watch every episode. The entire essence I started this channel was to enhance the reach of the voices of those people who are contributing to the fight against climate change and those who are fighting to save our environment. If you like this video, click the subscribe button so that you can equally contribute to enhancing awareness towards climate action. Let's save our planet together.